Hello and welcome to the HMEB podcast. I'm your host, David Cuff, the executive editor of HME Business, your source for news, trends, and insights into the home medical equipment industry. Today, we're talking about outlining DME policies and procedures for now and for the future. And it's an interesting topic, given that so many HME providers are coming up with very customized sort of specific businesses as they find niches in the post-acute world. And joining the podcast today to talk about that are Jackie King. She's the Director of Accreditation for Community Healthcare Accreditation Partners, aka CHAP, and Dan McPhillamy. He's the Senior Vice President of Marketing for CHAP. Guys, how you doing? Welcome to the podcast.
Hi, thank you for having us this afternoon.
Thank you.
Oh, it's great to have you guys. Well, let's dive in because this is an interesting topic. You know, we're seeing providers starting to fill niches in order to take care of unique market opportunities. Sometimes this can be a local market opportunity, you know, where maybe there's a specific health system or something like that, where they can find a really interesting niche, or maybe they found a category that they really settle nicely into. And also they face a lot of change management challenges. And at the same time, they still need to be accredited by companies like CHAP. So does this create a dilemma for providers and for accrediting organizations like CHAP?
You know, David, it does. It creates a challenge for the providers, number one, to stay reliable and consistent in your day-to-day business and serve the customers that count on you day in and day out, but also to maintain the ability to be agile, to change and adapt to market changes when there's a new opportunity that opens up or a gap or a change in a small market or nationwide. And with the rate of change we see happening in healthcare innovation, the products, the supply chains, everything, agility seems to be the new world. For the accrediting organizations, the AOs, it actually creates a chance to differentiate yourself, meaning you can show how good and how valuable you are to the organizations that choose you as their AO based on how much flexibility and how much agility your accreditation and your standards that they're adhering to gives them to be able to be that, and how quickly they can move, how quickly they can change, how quickly they can enter into a new category or change course.
Jackie, do you see much the same thing?
Yeah, the changing environment in the industry now, it's important for them to have someone to lock arms with. Where, you know, you have someone to either interpret or to help you interpret what you need to do regulatory wise as you're getting into this business. Some people come into the business and not really understanding what's required. So they need someone like an accreditor to lock arms with to guide them through that.
So it's interesting because we're kind of seeing two concepts happening here, right? We've got you know, change management and this idea to fill niches and respond to opportunities. How does CHAP, how are you guys trying to ensure that providers can make these two concepts kind of play together?
So for one, we want to make sure there's communication and that we are available to our customers and those who have who are potential customers for us. We want to make sure that we're available to support our customers with any questions they may have, as well as provide a rapid response to those who may need answers or support as they're maneuvering through the industry, through regulatory requirements, you know, issues with payment, or even trying to strategically, build their company or to expand their company into new areas. So our team is set up so that they have a dedicated customer support team, which includes an accreditation specialist who provides, you know, on the administrative side, that customer support, but they also work with their director of accreditation. Now, all of our directors of accreditation are knowledgeable of the industry regulatory guidelines. So when these customers have questions when they're entering the industry, you know, want to be an HME provider or whether they're an existing HME provider and they have to change and pivot based on changes within the industry, We want to make sure that we're there and readily available to answer those questions for them.
Gotcha. Dan, do you see similar, customization and standards? That's, I don't think those two things usually go together. What's the CHAP solution to make them go together? Is it a big hammer?
Yeah, it's a giant hammer. It's called communication, access to the resources and the people and the guidance when you need it, and also a foundation of standards that are built for change and built for the future. So when you combine the fact, like Jackie had talked about, that when you need to talk to somebody to say, I'm thinking of going into this, you know, new category, what's going to be required of me, or how do I look at this, or how do I look at this new guidance or this new policy that's been released, and how's that affect my accreditation? Just to have that conversation with your AO is incredibly important, and to be able to have that access to those people that know those answers or can give you the guidance on what does that mean for your organization based on your accreditation gives you a ton of room to move risk-free. The next thing is, like, those standards being able to be built for change and built for move and built for pace of change is incredibly important, because it gives you kind of an easy playbook to adapt.
And so is it more a set of new, and maybe this is, I'm using the wrong word here, so pardon me for my ignorance, but is this more a set of new standards, or is it more like a new approach to accreditation?
So I think the approach is something that CHAP has done incredibly well over the past several years. And that's really making that access and that communication piece the forefront. It's our mantra. It's who we are. We are patient-centered, partner-focused. We can't impact the quality care being provided in communities and through our DME and HME partners if we're not partnering with them to help them solve their problems and looking at giving them everything they need to do to operate in excellence. At the same time, the standards, the product, the actual book, you know, that you're adhering to, has gotten a huge rework and a huge complete change to be much more user-friendly, much more streamlined, and much more built for that ability. So it's two parts. It's product, and it is who we are.
So what was the impetus for coming up with this new approach, and how did you guys implement it?
Yeah, so the reason we launched new DME standards, number one, was to, and HME standards, was to bring it up to the current and future needs of the DME business. Our DME standards have been very, very sturdy for a long period of time, which is a testament to their ability to stay relevant for a long time and to kind of be flexible enough built in. But we saw a need for more. We saw, as things change, and certainly during the pandemic, you see the rate of change increase, and we know, okay, so if we're going to do this, we need to make sure we have what customers need when they are growing for the future. And how we did it, when we create our new standards, we always create a council of providers that we can listen to, and we can bounce ideas off and go through the planning and some organization with, to say, these are your peers. This is a council of organizations from large providers to very, very small, to say, how do we interpret this? What do we do? What does this mean to you when we talk through what our standards need to be? So we like the fact that it's peer reviewed. We like the fact that it's intentionally built to do that. And the way it ends up looking and the way it feels has that feel of a simplified format that's easy to understand and follow, and aligns with the DMEPOS quality standards that can be applied to any business model. If you're, you know, a wheelchair and crutches, or if you're hospital beds, if you support only hospice organizations, or you're doing retail and pharmacy, we want it to be able to work and fit for everybody, but be flexible and easy for everyone at the same time.
So for providers, how does this new kind of take help them plan for the future? Like, in other words, say a provider is maybe thinking about going after a new niche or something like that, and that involves some category accreditation. How would they work with CHAP and through this new approach to make that happen? Maybe you could kind of give me a scenario or something.
You know, we looked at the current standards that we, you know, our customers utilize to achieve accreditation. We had to think about whether those standards would support the changes that are going on in the industry, the different business models of HME providers, those who may be just CPAP providers versus those who may just do basic durable medical equipment. And then you have a lot more pharmacies that are being accredited just for basic DME. We had to look at if our standards fit, you know, and if they really support the changes that are going on, that's going on in the industry. So what we decided was, you know, it was time for a change. What standards, you know, do our standards really support, or are they relative to helping the customer to focus on patient care, on safe care delivery, and also to help them to have a sustainable business in this industry. So those are the things that we looked at. And the way that they're structured, there are key performance areas now that would apply to any type of business, no matter if you're a small mom or pop or large organization. And then there are those specialty areas. They're really aligned with the DMEPOS quality standards that, you know, Medicare certified providers have to adhere to. And we've developed the standards to address those in each of those chapters. They're very easy, we've simplified them. So anyone looking at them can really apply them, integrate them into their day-to-day processes, and know that they are going to be compliant with CHAP standards.
Got it. You know, one thing I'm curious is thinking about this in terms of speed. You know, sometimes market opportunities have a finite window of opportunity in order to capitalize on them, and so providers kind of need to turn on a dime. How does a provider approach this from an accreditation perspective? And let me rephrase that. How do you guys help HME providers, ramp up those changes? So, you know, provider goes, oh, you know, I want to get into, let's say sleep. I don't know. And so they're going to ramp up really fast. How do you guys help them still approach accreditation and also do it with speed?
We have a process in place, you know, as their director of accreditation, there's ongoing conversation. So when they are, I make them feel comfortable enough to know that you can call and you can access any question. We'd like to be involved and guide and direct you. So, you know, if we have a provider who has not done, as you, you know, suggested, recommended, CPAPs, and they want to get into that, they call, we're thinking about this. What is the process? So we outline the process for them. We tell them what we need from them in order to evaluate those processes. What are the things they may need to consider regulatory wise? Are they, you know, aware of licenses they may need to have in state? If they wanted to expand their businesses to different states to go from just serving, you know, one small community to be a national or serving several states, you know, to give them guidance on the things they need to look into as far as licensing, what's required in that state in order to provide your services in that state. So we're here to help them as they strategically plan to expand their businesses and to give them as much guidance and many recommendations that we can, and then to help them to get through the process of ensuring that they would now be accredited for those products moving forward.
Got it. You know, this is interesting because it sounds like there's a real consultative relationship with accreditors. The providers are going to have a lot more dialogue with their accreditors as they, you know, deal with change and want to make sure that whatever they're doing, whether it's, you know, taking advantage of a new opportunity or adding a category or whatever, that their policies and procedures are going to match what they need to do. Just speaking broadly, as accreditation professionals, do you guys think that accrediting organization staff will fill more of that consultative role in the future? Is there going to be more sort of, you know, I know it's a weird role because you guys can't really collaborate with your clients, you know, your creditors, but at the same time, you guys can let them know the path that they need to follow. Do you think there's going to be a more, I don't even know how you characterize relationship. Is it consultative? I don't know.
Well, you're right. It's I think the days of getting a renewal every, you know, 3 years to sign up and get, you know, have another site survey and go out and do that. And then crickets for 2.5 years. Those days are over. Number one, just the rate of change of healthcare, the needs of change, the way organizations are expanding or changing their offerings, and the way the policies change. It's now a place where you need that touch point to be able to understand, are we doing the things that we're doing? What is the interpretation of this? How do I read this standard to react to this business? And that's that people side. At the same time, then you also need, like, the AO needs the technology piece of it too, to make something as diverse as the HME world, make it customized and easy for that one person to use. So for instance, one of the things our ChapLink system does so well is with these new standards, going in and having an organization that does sleep in 4 different states, then they need to be able to know, hey, what standards apply to me and what's going to happen there. You need a combination of the person that's there to be their supportive team to inside Chap, help them get there. But then you also need the technology that supports the diversification of that. And we're really happy when those two things have come together with brand new, fresh standards that really makes a good custom environment that adapts as you get more expansion in your business.
And that's interesting, because this must be a challenge for you guys, because you guys still have to function objectively, right? So how do you do that? That's an interesting tightrope where you have to be an objective accrediting organization, but at the same time you're trying to help providers, you know, come up with customized solutions. How do you straddle that line?
The relationship between the DA and the site visitor really, keeps that communication open. Being able to have that peer-to-peer review on site, having someone that understands your businesses, understands the challenges of these businesses, and then to be able to consultatively, while still remaining, as you say, objective, be able to make some recommendation and educate them about what's going on, to direct them to different resources that they can use to get the information that they need. You know, not everyone can call the government and have someone to pick up the phone readily, or, you know, call a business these days, even for any customer service, and have someone to pick up the phone. We try to make sure that communication is ongoing throughout the 3-year period. We don't want them to feel like, you know, you've gained accreditation and then you're just out there on your own. No question to me is, you know, something they shouldn't be directing to me. You know, it's like, it's not my problem. No, we don't see it that way. We want to lock arms with our customers, give them as much guidance as we can, what it is they need to comply with the standards. When things are happening in the industry, as well as recalls, we try to put out as much information about them to make them aware of what's going on and changes. And then we're going to, you know, we are ramping up and make it more educational opportunities for them through our Chap Inc. website, through our company website. So posting those things, you know, constant communication through various avenues to make them well aware of what's going on.
All right. Well, this is interesting. It sounds like we've got a very, an agile solution for providers that need to be increasingly agile. Guys, if people want to find out more about these new accreditation standards and this new approach, how can they find out more information?
anyone interested in pursuing accreditation through CHAP or learning more about our accreditation and our standards, they can call our main office. You can visit our website at chapinc.org. We have loads of information there to introduce you to accreditation the CHAP way. You can also give us a call in our main office and ask to speak with our business development department or either a director of accreditation that can really just have a discussion with you. It's one of the things that I love about my job, being able to interact with the providers. It's, you know, one thing for them to read some standards and regulations and say, you know, that I must comply with these things, but it's another thing to speak to a live person. And I really have always enjoyed that part of it, because these are the people serving our communities and I see that they want to do the right thing.
Same here, Jackie. Well, thanks very much for being on the podcast.
Thank you for your time today. We appreciate being here.
No, thanks for having us.
Thanks again to Jackie and Dan from CHAP. And one final point about CHAP's new standards. They go into effect for any site survey starting January 2022. So if you want to learn more about them, you can contact CHAP and get started now so that you have some time before your survey. Okay, it looks like we'll wrap up the episode there. Don't forget to rate and review the HME Business Podcast. And please, if you haven't already, make sure to click the subscribe button so that you get every new episode. Remember, you keep listening and we'll keep posting. And if you want to stay on top of everything that's happening in the industry, make sure to check out hme-business.com and subscribe to eSource, our weekly e-newsletter service there. If you haven't done so, make sure to subscribe to the print magazine there as well. Or if you want to save a tree, you can get the digital flipbook edition instead, which is really handy because you can save it to your hard drive as a PDF. Again, that's hme-business.com. Of course, you can follow us on social media. We're at HME Business on both Facebook and Twitter, and we're also on LinkedIn as well. And I'm at Postacute News on Twitter. Lastly, if you have any feedback, suggestions, or requests, don't be afraid to reach out to me via Twitter on @postacutenews, or you can hit me up by email at dko@1105media. Thank you all very much for listening. We'll keep covering compelling topics like the changing policies and procedures for HME providers. But for now, goodbye until the next HMEB podcast.